Welcome to Pisces Rising.
I'm Ash.
And I'm Heather.
We want to talk about astrology with you.
Go deep or go home.
Hi, everybody. We are back.
Hey. Yeah, we kind of had like a extended vacation a little bit unknowingly. We live far apart now, so we don't get to see each other as much in astrology chat, and we'd rather do it in person than on the phone, so we are back.
Yeah, well, you know, it might be a little more sporadic, but we're not giving up on it. We'll do these when we can. We love to check in with each other and with you, so.
And in the summer, it could be regular again.
Oh, yeah.
You could come up to camp,
yeah,
which is next to you.
Your camp is very close by me, so that's great. Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about some of the planetary shifts that are going on. There's a lot of big planets that are at the later degrees of signs, about to switch over. Saturn is going to be moving into Pisces in a couple weeks. And Pluto's at the 29th degree of Capricorn right now.
That's going to be moving this year too, around the same time.
Yeah, at the end of March, I believe. Yeah. It's during Aries season.
Whew.
I know.
These are big, big shifts.
Yes, those are like huge. I mean, Pluto has been in Capricorn since 2008.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that feels like another lifetime to me.
A heavy place to be in Capricorn, too. I think you guys that have been listening to this for a while probably remember the story that I told of the girl being hit with Capricorn jumping out of the window
the day
the transit started. It's just like heavy, heavy, heavy energy.
Yeah.
You know, Pluto does not like. Actually, Pluto likes Capricorn a lot, but they're almost too comfortable with each other, and they just create this overcast of, like, doom.
Yeah, it's very, I mean, Capricorn, it can approach, like, Eeyore energy. I think you've used that analogy in the past, and so with Pluto already being very heavy, and you introduce that kind of, like, more Debbie Downer energy with it, then that can be a lot to sit in, especially for 14, 15 years.
And the energy of anything going into Aquarius is fun and light at the 0 degrees, because Aquarius at 0 degrees is like that God energy. It's just so expansive. I don't know if anyone's ever heard this, but the way that 29 is the critical degree, 0 degree is whatever the opposite critical is.
Yeah.
So it kind of brings out the best of maybe even both signs, because it's technically on the cusp. So it's going to be obvious. The day that 29 degree ends Capricorn and it moves into Aquarius, which is probably going to be like a few hour process, mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be like an intense feeling, which could even be euphoric,
yes.
Right? Because it's going to be just such a relief. Like a lotus blooming from the mud. Like the Capricorn is the mud we've been in, and the Aquarius is just like, I'm ready to fucking open and be free. So it's going to be a shift that is obvious to the masses, to anybody who's remotely aware. Even people who have been living in the subconscious are going to feel lifted. I think that Bright Eyes album, Lifted, is going to be awesome to listen to, because it has that like heavy Conor Oberst, like, you know, he's a triple Aquarius actually, so he's all about freedom, but you can hear the Capricorn in his voice sometimes, the like doom and gloom,
yeah,
and the sadness and the depression. So it's going to feel like a Conor Oberst or a Bright Eyes album, but particularly the album about being lifted, which is like a happy, sad album about like depression and then like kind of getting through it. There's a lot of songs on that album that I think are going to be, that are going to sound and feel like the shift of Pluto 29 degrees to 0 degrees Aquarius.
Mm, I really like the lotus blossom analogy. That's beautiful and true. And as we make our way to that, I think it's happening like March 27th, and Pluto is sitting at that 29th degree for about a month. I mean, it's because it's such a slow moving planet, it's just camped out at that degree. And I think that's going to cause a lot of heavy energy. People might be experiencing some like flare ups of depression, or just kind of like the winter blues. It really feels like that, regardless of what part of the world you live in, even if you're in the southern hemisphere, I think it could feel that way, just kind of that heavier blue energy. And also, like, financially, I think, you know, we're noticing, like, we're kind of, like, in a recession, at least in our country we are, and Pluto being in Capricorn, the sign that rules over finances, the 29th degree, that can make things feel a little more intense and a little more scary in that way. So that could be something that also lightens or resolves a bit once Pluto moves into Aquarius. And it's not going to be in Aquarius, like, permanently. It's going to be there for a few months, and then it's going to dip back into Capricorn before, you know, continuing on solidly into Aquarius later this year. But we're going to get at least a few months of what this energy is like and get a preview of what the next 14, 15 years might look like.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be the best shift. The first shift is probably going to be the best shift. And as it retros back, it's not going to be as intense as it is now.
Very true. A retrograde planet at 29 degrees is never quite as intense.
Yeah. So this is all going on while Saturn is also moving into Pisces, which is definitely not a great placement for Saturn. But again, a nice shift to have. It's going to be less rebellious than Saturn and Aquarius. Mm-hmm. But I think with what you were talking about with the recession, this also makes sense. I think the difference is when Saturn goes into Pisces, people might not care about the recession as much as they usually care about or worry about as money as much as usual. Saturn in Aquarius at 29 degrees is also going to give a, I don't give a fuck about money, but in a obvious way, where when it moves into Pisces, it's just going to be not caring and not knowing money is a thing, where Aquarians are going to rebel against the financial system.
Yeah.
I think actually that Saturn moving into Pisces could bring a lot of forgiveness.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't dislike it really. Like, when I think about the energy, it doesn't feel, I mean, there's challenges to it, because Saturn is going to bring challenges no matter where it goes. To me, it's about, like, building boundaries and protecting our energy more, because Saturn being this planet of restriction and Pisces being so open and fluid and formless, you know, Saturn's bringing some restriction to that formlessness. So I think in a way it can be helpful for those of us who are really empathic and just pick up on the energies of other people. I think it could be super useful for that.
That's a really good point. Meaning Pisces will absorb the energy of Saturn and have more of a container than Pisces usually does.
Yes.
So maybe, and that's one thing to notice for you water signs out there, especially you Pisces at the beginning degrees, you know, the ones that are maybe born in February, like that. I actually think, too, that the February Pisces might even have more trouble realizing boundaries as a thing, where when you get into March, you're like, okay, it's clear that I don't have boundaries, but I don't care.
Right.
So with that being said, this Saturn container as it transits through your chart in Pisces, not even if you're having a Saturn return, but as it's hitting the sun, as these changes are happening for Pisces suns or for water sign suns, you might be able to absorb this energy of boundaries and of understanding where it is good to be restrictive and to have discipline. So maybe this could even help in an addictive way too, in a way where addiction could have a different perspective and be a little bit healed, the water energy being healing and the Saturn energy giving limit to the indulgence.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It could bring more willpower. So if there's an addiction that normally you just kind of fall into without, you know, that's just sort of like the comfort zone that you land in. Saturn could bring more willpower to overcome that or to create limits and restrictions and maybe that involves hitting a wall where you realize, oh, wow, this isn't working for me anymore. This is actually harming me. But then from that comes the ability to set those goals and meet them related to addiction and emotional addictions, too. I mean, I think that's one thing that is in that Pisces realm is like these emotional addictions to other people or to unhealthy relationships. All of that stuff could be helped with this. But again, it might come with an unpleasant realization at first that then brings healing.
What do you think of the 29-degree shift of Saturn to the 0-degree shift of Pisces as far as feeling that?
I think that the Pisces energy, yeah, I think it's going to be a little calmer as Saturn moves into there, because Aquarius is more, as you mentioned, rebellious, and there's a lot of like electric energy with that. And at the 29th degree, there's this need to kind of wield that electricity and just like maybe be more in control. I mean, control is kind of a word I'm seeing with both Saturn and Pluto at that 29th degree. And that need for control is going to be really intense over the next month. But then as we come out the other side, I think a lot of that will be released, especially with Saturn moving into Pisces, because Pisces doesn't really care about power and control.
No, they care about peace and surrender, because that is the most actually authentic version of control, is knowing that you can't control other people. And I think that's the beautiful energy of Pisces, is they, higher or lower side, pretty much know and don't even try to control other people. If anything, they might try to even accommodate other people's bad behaviors if they see that somebody doesn't want to face them and they don't want to bring pain to that person, which isn't necessarily the best thing to do.
Yeah.
But they do consider people's feelings, and they do actively know when to not push and when to push in their own slippery way.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you with the transition being like less obvious, and about the rebellious thing you said. And I think one of the reasons it's going to be less obvious is because both signs are ungrounded. They're just not, you know, earth bound. I think they have, like, Pisces is otherworldly, Aquarius is alien. They're not like human beings connected to the ground. Like, they have human bodies, but they're also living in a couple different places at once, even when, you know, when they're talking to you. They're just very, like, multidimensional.
Mm.
So the Saturn moving from Aquarius to Pisces, I think, is going to have that sailing effect of just, like, one watery sign into another watery sign. Aquarius is obviously technically not water, but the air and the water of like a sailboat, you know, that's kind of transition. But Saturn doesn't really like either signs, although I do think it's funny how Saturn was the old ruler of Aquarius, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That still makes no sense to me, because, you know, maybe a little bit with the fixed energy, but again,
that was what I was going to say. That's, I don't know. It's clearly not the best. I'm glad that Uranus was discovered.
Yeah, me too. Because it's just going to, like, it's going to rebel. The rebelling energy, like Ash was talking about, might, you know, calm down a little bit, and it might be more of a surrender energy. So it's not going to be like, let's fight the system, or let's just, like, you know, bring this new innovative method out. It's more going to be like a true ending. That's what it's going to be, a true ending, because Pisces is at the end of the cycle. It's all the signs wrapped up into one. It's going through all the experiences and dissolving them before they can truly begin again. So I think that what we're going to notice when Saturn moves into Pisces is an energy of dissolve of responsibility, reevaluating your values. No matter what, collectively, there's going to be a reevaluation of values. Mm-hmm. This is coming to me in a channel right now. And that reevaluation of values is going to be like, well, what's truly important? Is it truly important that we get on our computer and have technology? Or is it truly important that we meet face to face and we grow our own food. Like, how do we live peacefully? How do we live peacefully with some responsibility, but not necessarily this responsibility of 9 to 5? So Aquarius broke up those paradigms of like the work schedule and these responsibilities, and it shook them up. And as it sinks into Pisces, it just might be like, well, what do we do? What do we value? Do we value like doing retail? Probably not, but we do value being kind to people. So maybe, you know, I'm going to find a way to work for myself and keep the peace and be kind to people in my way without force, without... Both signs do not like restrictions. I think the difference is Pisces will adapt to restriction and then dissolve and then hide, where Aquariuses will fight restriction. So I think that the energy is going to be the mutable Pisces absorbs some of the Saturn and can kind of adapt to the restriction, but it's going to actually be healthy where there was a combat to the discipline. There's going to be at least a little more of a container to a maybe even healthy discipline.
Yeah. Wow. Absolutely. I feel that. That makes sense to me. Yeah, well, you were talking about how this is kind of an ending in some ways. It got me thinking. So Saturn would have entered Aries. It would have been like probably like 26 years ago at this point. So by the end of the cycle, it will have been 28, 29 years. And it being the end of that cycle, I started thinking, well, what was going on about 28, 29 years ago? I mean, that was really like when we saw the internet begin, like the boom of people using the internet in their daily lives about, you know, 26 years ago, that would have been like 97, 96, like in that zone.
And the excitement for it, like now it's like something doesn't come up on time, you're like, what the fuck? And there's rage.
Yeah.
Right. But I remember being like getting computers in the school, and I personally never liked it. I think you can tell to this day that I struggle with the internet and, yeah, and just computers and technology. Yeah. But I do remember everybody in my school loving computer class and being so excited to get on the computer. And then the other thing that's interesting is what really made the internet thrive was sex, like porn. Yeah. Being, you know, I think the way they figured out how to send something or how to get somebody else to see something was like sharing porn or sharing something sexual. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was definitely about sex.
Yep.
It was definitely about porn. And that's very primal areas of like, all right, shameless, like, let's do it. Let's satisfy this like Mars energy.
Right.
Mars and work, you know, Aries and Saturn. So yeah, that boom of the internet. And the other thing too with that is that's when, you know, I think that's still around Gen X time when Gen X's were growing up. But it's also, you know, that millennial cuspy energy of like, you know, I'm done. It's definitely Gen X millennial cusp of being done with like working for the man, wanting to take things into your own hands, really just like firing up and not having fear of expressing yourself, not feeling at that point in time, people were really like coming out of the box. I mean, even if you think of the music, like I don't exactly know what year it was, but around that time there was Nirvana.
Yeah, right? The grunge scene of the 90s for sure. That was a huge thing.
And that was a rebellious kind of energy, or a like, I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm expressing what I feel in not necessarily a pretty way. Like you could hear the pain in Kurt Cobain's voice, you know, just like you can hear the pain in Conor Oberst's voice, but it was expressed like pretty authentically.
Right. Well, same with the females too, like Fiona Apple and Alanis Morissette, like there was anger and edge to those performances.
Yeah.
Like Liz Phair, all those women were like powerful and angry.
And sexy.
Yeah.
Too, you know, they all like kind of have, you know, those openly sexual songs, you know, Liz Phair. I was just trying to, it was so funny. I was like, just recently thinking of this Liz Phair that I used song that I loved and listened to all the time. And I remembered the lyrics and couldn't remember the name. So finding the song was so funny. Because I was like, what song? It's like, every time I see your face, I want to fuck you like a dog. Do you know the song I'm talking about?
I don't, but that's
I'll take you home and make you like it. It's like, and it's called Flower.
Okay.
So it took me like a half an hour to find the song. I just went through all of her songs to find it. And I was like, wait a minute, this dirty, nasty song is called Flower?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and it's like, that energy was so, at the time, cutting edge. And maybe now it's like a little distorted, but it's going to go back into that full expression. It's going to dissolve and then go back into that full expression.
Yeah. Wow. By the time Saturn goes into Aries, that'll be like 2.5, 3 years from now. I'm kind of excited for what that's going to be like.
Yeah. So enjoy the funeral of Saturn and Pisces. Enjoy this, you know, because yes, it's a new beginning, but it's a new beginning for a full ending.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
Okay. I like that. That's a really good intention to go into this with, you know? I think that there's a lot of reflection that can come from that and integration.
And then the one last thing, it's not coming to a close yet, but Neptune is getting near the final degrees of Pisces as well. And this is a big ending.
Yeah, it's not changing. I don't think it changes this year. The retrograde takes it back, but it's like dancing near. Like, I know it was just on my ascendant, and my ascendant's 28 degrees Pisces. I'm pretty sure it's like, well, yours is too, right?
Yeah, it's 27 degrees.
Yeah.
It's been like, it's completely fucking.
Yeah, it's just been sitting on our ascendants for months now.
Yeah.
It's probably why the podcast kind of dissolved there for a minute. We're just like, floating in space.
Totally. And actually, this is not necessarily connected, but I think this would be helpful to a lot of people. It's connected in the Piscean way. So Ash and I have the same degree Pisces. What I've realized recently is, and we're Pisces ascendant, and I have another Pisces ascendant friend who's maybe 20 degrees in Pisces who called me up in a freak out because of this transit. I was like, don't worry for you, it's almost over. And then I have another friend with a high degree Pisces moon. And all of us, I noticed, went through similar emotional experiences with, like, maybe, I think for you, it was maybe a little bit more of like with your cat and with your dad dealing with those things. But it was like dealing with these relationships, these family things that like dampened the Pisces energy, dealing with very specific things that were super similar, maybe different experiences, but the same themes.
Well, you had cat and dad stuff too, but it was just different.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was like,
And so did my two other friends. One of my friends had it mostly with like men that she was dating, but realizing a very specific pattern still connected to like death and dissolve. So it's just so interesting to notice that when you have the same degree as somebody, you're experiencing the same transit. And then you like, you're like, oh my God, you're experiencing that too. And then you kind of like build this bond or respect with a Pisces energy. Sometimes it's less about building a bond and respecting like, oh, I bet you want to be left alone right now because you just know how it feels. So taking that piece to that energy is just really about like if you pay attention and if you're into astrology and you notice you're going through the same thing as your friends are going through, it might not be as much about the collective astrology, but more about sharing a planet natally with the same degree that planet is transiting.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, if you're the same age as your friends, you're going to probably have some like generational planets that are in the same sign, if not similar degrees, and or if you have the same rising sign as a friend, then that means that if there's a planet transiting that, it's hitting both of you. So it's always good to keep in mind.
And that part's cool with the rising, because then it's going to be easier for me to see myself through you.
Yes.
Or through other people that are going on, because especially with a Pisces rising being transited by Neptune and Pisces, that is just, well, it depends the way you look at it. I have a theory that we should do another podcast about, and it's about Neptune supposedly being delusional. I don't think Neptune is as delusional for water signs. I think it's more intuitive.
Mm.
If you're comfortable with your intuition and you've always used it, when you receive Neptune conjuncting one of your watery planets, it could just be the most natural thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know there's a lot of Pisces risings that listen to this because that's how you found us, by seeing that. So I'm sure a lot of you are going through similar things right now. So it's not going to last forever.
And I think that out of all the signs, Pisces like the endings and the new beginnings more, and they notice and are drawn to it. So you're really going to be feeling the Saturn and the Aquarius, and then the Capricorn in Pluto. I mean, it's just going to be obvious because Pisces are the queens and kings of dissolve.
Yeah. And that new moon in Pisces, too, that we had yesterday as we were recording this, that was very dissolve-y.
Yeah. That's probably why I fucked up all my plans today, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Heather thought that this was, we were meeting tomorrow, and you had other plans that you thought were happening tomorrow, but are happening today.
Yeah, and it ended up all working out, but, like, I was, like, late with everything, because I, like, switched it and kind of made it happen, but I just, like, literally was like, oh, my God, I don't even know how it happened at all.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of stuff shifting, and it's hard to make plans that stick, but as long as you can improvise, I feel like this energy is maybe kind of fun.
This starts our third year season.
Yes, you're right. We started this right before the pandemic hit in 2020.
Yeah.
It would have been like end of February, beginning of March 2020. Yeah. So
happy anniversary to us.
Yes.
And keep listening. We're going to try to get more on. And yeah, we will talk to you guys soon. Hopefully this time sooner than a couple months.
Yeah. Send us requests if you have any, and we'll add them to our list. Bye, everyone.
For listening to Pisces Rising. You can find us on Instagram at Pisces Rising Podcast, email us PiscesRisingPodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook. Have a magical day.